Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, August 10th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am spectacular today. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's great that you are here. And John Martellaro, I'm so happy you're here too. How are you?
I am merely ordinary.
You are far too humble, because you are so much more than merely ordinary.
I, as you said that, John, and the words appeared in my head, I saw an asterisk after the word merely. So just so you know.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And anyone, John, that thinks you are truly ordinary, they don't know you, or they've been sorely misinformed.
My cat. My cat thinks I'm ordinary.
Your cat thinks you're a servant.
Yes. But no ordinary servant. Your cat thinks that you are your cat's servant. So there is a personal piece to that. So.
I saw a fantastic tweet yesterday, an observation that a fox is cat software running on dog hardware.
I love it.
Oh, I like it, man. That's good.
So it's a hacking dog.
Oh, there's the title for the episode.
There we go. Hold on. I'm writing that down. Like, literally, I am.
Yeah, that's
hack
good, man.
And dog.
Awesome.
That is awesome. I feel like ending the show right there. Because how can we top hacking dog?
Did you happen to have topics that you think might actually be able to top that? Or are we going to just do the topics anyway and leave it as the hacking dog episode?
We'll do the topics anyway. And this is now the hacking dog episode. You know,
sounds
what?
Good.
I think I'm actually going to use that as the title. It will be the hacking dog episode.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the MacBook Pro, the Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And how it sounds, literally how it sounds. So we have the first issue Apple had to deal with, which was the whole thing with the missing piece of code that allowed the fans to turn on when they were supposed to. So the laptops are suffering from processor throttling when they didn't need to. So they were running much slower than they were supposed to. Apple got that fixed. And now it turns out that they have another issue to address on the new Touch Bar MacBook Pros, which is that people are getting this buzzing, crackly sound coming out of the speakers, the built-in speakers. And I've listened to this on some YouTube videos. And to me, what it sounds like is if this were an old AM radio and you were kind of jumping between stations and you get that weird cross channel sound, that's what it sounds like to me. And
it's the NSA chip.
The NSA chip. Great. Yeah. So some people are saying it happens only in specific apps. Some people are saying it's a system-wide thing. No one's been able to narrow this down to hardware or software yet. So now Apple's having to deal with this. John, I bet you have some thoughts.
Well, I did read that it happened in a boot camp scenario under Windows. So some people think it might be in the hardware. My head is spinning right now about the Macintosh because, you know, we're waiting for the new iMacs with Coffee Lake. We're waiting for maybe a new Mac Mini because Tim Cook says Apple loves the Mac Mini. And it's difficult to avoid fearing that the Macintosh group is not in control, and that's why products are taking so long. I don't know. It's just, it's one thing to say it's a schedule thing. You know, we're not ready yet. This is the normal course of development. But events like this kind of make you suspect that there's deeper issues in the Macintosh group. That was my first blush reaction. I'm probably totally wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong. But that's my fear.
Well, your fear, regardless of whether it's on target or not, is probably pretty common. I think there's a growing number of people that are concerned that Apple is not paying attention to the Mac lineup in the way they need to, and they're holding up the processor throttling issue, which has been fixed, the speaker issue, and then, of course, in the 2016 and 17 models, the keyboard issue.
Yeah. Dave? Yeah. No, this is interesting. The keyboard issue, and we don't know the outcome of this speaker issue, right? The throttling issue, that we clearly was a software oversight, right? I mean, it was fixed by that. But it to your point, John, it shows a, that lack of attention, that lack of QA attention, which really, that's the thing that Apple has always been really good with. It seems like things are simultaneously taking longer than we as consumers would want. And I think taking longer than Apple would prefer. I don't want to say want, because they could change things, right? But, altogether, would you rather have put this out in December? Well, yeah, if it were ready, but it wasn't. So, we've got that. Combined with, they feel like they're rushing these things out, or it feels like to me that they're rushing these things out. And, I can hope that these things that we're seeing will get the attention, the appropriate attention of the powers that be over there, to maybe shift some resources and I would think that if you had this conversation with Tim Cook at WWDC, right, before the new MacBook Pros were announced, he would have said, yeah, we've, and I'm totally projecting here, but, it stands to reason that he would have said, yep, we had some oversights, and this would only be if he was being totally frank, and we wouldn't expect him to do this because he's the CEO of a public company. But, we had some, issues where we weren't quite on the ball with this stuff, but we've retrenched, we've changed that. Wait till you see this new MacBook Pro that we've got coming. It'll be out next month, and you're going to be blown away. It's going to address the big problems with the keyboard, and we've got some other nice, performance tweaks and surprises in store for you. Right. I mean, he would never say that, but I would like to think that that's what was on his mind, about all this.
Dave, you used two keywords, shifting resources. One of the things we know that Apple does is that when a project comes along that's hot, people jump ship. They say, this is the future. This is where I want to be. This is an exciting team. Apple has assembled the crack people to tackle a new project. And so sometimes organizations like the Mac Group can be raided, or people feel like it's not getting enough attention, or they're not satisfied with the work environment, or they see something appealing that they want to move to, and that can drain resources. And so it takes a conscious effort on a part of a corporation like Apple to say, I know you're a brilliant star in iOS hardware engineering, but I want you to go back to the Mac Group in its current sorry state and fix it up.
Maybe the sales pitch wouldn't go.
Do I have to?
I was going to say, maybe the sales pitch wouldn't go quite like that.
No. I was characterizing it.
But yes, I think that, but that kind of thing happens all the time, right? I mean, they took some of the best engineers that they had on the Mac and put them on iPhone when iPhone was not even a thing yet, right? Yeah. And that worked out quite well. So I think now, of course, it was different leadership. At least at some levels that did that. But I think there's some internal trust in that. And perhaps even like that can be seen as a very prestigious offer inside of Apple. Like, hey, we need something, we need the right people over here on this, whether this is a new thing or an old thing or, whatever, an existing
thing. That's called leadership.
Yeah. Leadership. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, we are tapping you on the shoulder to come over here right now. And as I've heard the stories go, sometimes it literally goes like that. Like, we've just tapped you on the shoulder, grab all your stuff, come with me. and we'll let your former manager know that you are no longer on this project, right? And that kind of thing happens, has happened constantly at Apple in their history. And I don't expect that that part of the dynamic there has changed. So the hope, though, is, and what we don't know here is if that is happening, currently happening with the Mac. I would assume that it did happen with the Mac probably 18 months ago, right? Maybe a year ago. Is that happening again now? Are they realizing, whoa, we got to pay attention to this stuff because, yes, we're not selling, you know, our revenues, more of them come from the iPhone than the Mac, but the Mac's a very important part of the ecosystem. I firmly believe they see that, the Mac is a necessary thing. And so maybe they didn't put enough resources on it, or maybe they pushed it out too quickly. I know they wanted to have it out for the school buying, you know, the back to school timing and all that. And obviously
there's right? politics too, you know.
Yeah.
The product manager in charge of the Mac has to have a great and influential relationship with Phil Schiller and other executives so that when he needs resources or he needs to make something happen or he needs to get on the meeting calendar for the executive team, he's convincing, he's respected, and he gets what he needs.
Yes.
And if the office politics are such that that person is not quite on the same wavelength or doesn't have the influence he needs, then he just goes about his business trying to do the best he can with what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then maybe we get code that doesn't let the processor run the way it should, or maybe we get speakers at crackle.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this speaker thing. If anyone, I have not heard, have either of you guys heard like a recording of what this sounds like?
Yeah, there's a bunch of videos on YouTube.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. I need to check those out because I'm an audio guy. I've got, you know, enough electrical background that I would love to hear it and start to get a sense of okay, what, you know, what do I think this is? Do I think this is a software thing or is it, you know, is there something wrong with the gain structure and can it be solved in a way with software, even if it's a hardware problem? Like, because that's a big deal if the speaker, I mean, especially since they were touting the new speakers as a thing.
Right. Know?
Yeah.
Come to Apple's defense here for a second. There's a lot of new hardware. You know, this speaker system is supposed to be new. Apple has touted it. We've got the T2 chip. We've got the AX processor in the touch bar. We've got the new coffee lakes. There's a new memory system. So, you know, Apple's pushing the edges here and just not sitting on the laurels. So you can expect that maybe a sound chip, maybe got defective along the way in the supply chain. And maybe some of them are defective. Maybe it's 1%, but people make a fuss about it.
Yeah.
That all out of proportion to the 1% levels.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I can kind of see where this could happen.
Totally.
Any big company that makes hardware is going to have stuff like this happen.
It could be that they're running it too hot too, right? I don't mean in a temperature standpoint, although it would cause a heat increase. I just mean, are they driving it too hard, right? You know, to your point, you know, some percentage of these things can be driven more than others. And are we now seeing the result of that where, you know, you're sending too much signal in? Maybe there's a buffering issue. Maybe it's just a gain issue and you're asking it to output too much and it's overheating or hitting a limit.
When you have a very thin case,
yeah,
there isn't a whole lot of opportunity for shielding either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It could be truly a hardware layout thing, but it also could just be. I mean, I know if I go in on my Mac and you can do this if you either have the right software or dig into the right things, you can overdrive the sound system in your Mac too, and you can get louder sounds. There's an app from Global Delight, I believe, makes it called Boom. I think they're up to Boom 2 or Boom 3 or Boom 4 or something. But Boom is built to do exactly this. It actually captures the audio that is being sent to your speakers and like gains it way up and then also overdrives your audio preamp so that when the sound comes out of your speakers, it's way louder. And I've used it on laptops in the past when I'm trying to, you know, watch a movie in a hotel room with, you know, like with my wife or something. And all we have is the laptop. It's like, oh, it's not really loud enough. Let's crank it up, you know, and boom, we'll do that. So it is possible to do all of these things via software or at least some of them. And maybe Apple has, you know, boomified the core audio, right? For these machines. And maybe they just overdid it, because I've done that with Boom too, where I've driven it too hard and it sounds like crap. It's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. We just got to back off a little bit. So, so much, especially in audio today, the things that 20 years ago we would only ever solve in an analog way are all now so digital that the software is just as important as the hardware, and sometimes even more important. And even in terms of sound quality, it's weird to think about, but the DSP matters just as much as the quality of the amplifier or the quality of the speaker. And you can actually have crappy speakers and amplifiers, and with the right DSP tuned exactly the right way, it can still sound kind of amazing, which is amazing. Yeah.
There's another thought I have here that came up while you were talking, Dave, and that is we try to cram professional grade, industrial strength, high performance system into a very thin portable machine. And there are compromises. There have to be, which is why I resist buying a MacBook Pro for my daily workflow, because I need a big display and I need horsepower and I need cooling and I need to run parallels and I need multi-cores and I need a honking machine that's designed to work at 100 degrees and, you know, blow those fans and work hard and has been tested for an industrial environment and it's going to come through. Whereas a MacBook, it being designed the way it is, it makes portable compromises. And so these things can happen. That's my thought on that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to move us on because we only have a couple minutes left, and I want your opinion on another news piece from today, which is the news that Pandora is taking their genome project that they used to create like personalized playlists that have a higher likelihood of pleasing people. And they're applying that to podcasts. So they're hoping by the end of the year that they will be able to create playlists that are customized per person that feed up podcasts that you are more likely to be interested in. So it's like addressing the discoverability issue.
Which is the issue. Right. Yes. If there were one big issue with podcasts, it's that. The second one, of course, is metrics and homogenizing it. But wow, this is fascinating. I wonder how many people are using Pandora to listen to podcasts right now. I'd actually be very curious to hear from is there anybody, you know, using Pandora right now to do that? Because if I look at Pandora's blog, and I look at the tag for podcasts there. Mm-hmm. The last article they published on their blog about this was in April of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the last article they published on their blog in general was July 31st, 2018. So, like, the blog is still up to date, but it doesn't feel like podcasts have been a priority for them, at least in terms of a public outreach standpoint. So this is interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they pull this off and it works well, because the whole thing with discoverability, I don't care how many apps we have right now. Discoverability for me, and I think for a lot of people, is still word of mouth.
Yep.
And I honestly cannot tell you a single podcast that I've listened to that didn't come as a suggestion from someone else.
Huh. Now that you say that, I also agree 100%. I see podcast directories all the time, and I'm aware of the shows that I see in those directories. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actually listening to one, word of mouth.
Word of mouth. And I bet I'm about to prove that right now. Dave, you need to check out My Favorite Murder.
Okay. I've heard other people have suggested this to me. I have yet to act on it, but yeah, there you
check
go.
Check it out. And when okay. you listen to it, you'll be like, I cannot believe how many rules of podcasting they break.
Ah, that's awesome.
And it's awesome. And I'm not going to spoil it for you on at all. Just
okay.
My Favorite Murder. Go check it out.
See, that's the best kind of ad. I mean, crossing all kinds of lines and topics here, but that right there is the best ad you could have given me for that show. Because if you then continued on for three more minutes and told me everything about it, you would almost certainly curb my curiosity about it by over-informing me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just whet my appetite and intentionally stopped.
Yeah, now I intentionally stopped. Yeah,
I know. Mm-hmm. And now I almost grabbed my phone and subscribed, and that's when I decided to make this commentary.
Or he stopped because he knows we're running out of time. cough.
Well, there is that, but no, my stop was because I didn't want to spoil the show. So when you get to go and listen to the show, you get to have the same delight that I had the first time I listened.
My Favorite Murder. Well, now I'm subscribed because I had enough time while you guys were speaking. So there you go.
Awesome. But there you go. Yeah. I just proved my point. This is how all of us find new podcasts.
Totally.
Yeah. So anyhow, I hope that Pandora's Genome Project for podcasts works out and that it becomes a really great way for people to discover shows that they wouldn't have found otherwise.
Yep.
And yes, we are out of time, so we're going to wrap up. John, thanks so much for being here today.
I remain ordinary. Thanks for having me.
Not in the eyes of your cat or me. Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. This is a fun one.
It was.
It's nice to be on the show with you, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thanks for joining us all week long. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.